we talk a lot about formats around sustainability, but we're seeing a lot of formats that actually, you know, save on utilities as well. So whether it's products that require less water or don't require heat, it's something we're seeing. So solid formats in particular, you know, that don't require water, hybrid formats, multitaskers that are reducing the amount of products you need, so you don't have to spend as long time in the shower, for example. And they also have the advantage of having longer shelf lives as well.
That's Claire Varga, our Director of Beauty, talking about how beauty product solutions that help the planet are also good for consumers' pockets. I'm Bethan Ryder, and you're listening to the WJSN Create Tomorrow podcast. And in this episode, we're addressing changing consumer behaviour in the light of the cost of living crisis and what brands can do to reassure and retain consumers in the months ahead. Joining me on today's episode is Joe McDonald, Director of Consumer Insight, and he kicked off giving us a macro view of the current global situation.
So it's pretty bleak, if I'm honest. I'm going to hit you with a few stats, but we'll try not to dwell on them too much. So the World Economic Forum reports that one in four people are struggling financially. And obviously we've got inflation of 8% in the UK, 12% in Brazil, 10% in the Netherlands, 8% in India. It's quite a bleak outlook, and people are really struggling with food bills, heating, electricity usage especially. And it's having real knock-on impacts to everything from the food and drink industry through to socialising, through to leisure time.
And in terms of actually shopping, what are we seeing there? How's it affecting that?
Well, obviously people are shopping less. There's a lot more of an emphasis on value, but people are also swapping products as well. They're looking for cheaper products. We know from the kind of FMCG categories that during times of recession, people swap down, especially things like cleaning products. They'll go from name brand to supermarket own, and then it takes a very, very long time for those low interest categories, especially for consumers to swap back. And all the forecasts are saying that this recession is going to last for at least a year, probably a little bit longer. So for all our brands, it's an especially difficult time to try and maintain that loyalty.
The obvious place to start for brands is obviously around price and offering value to consumers. So I think it's very pertinent that we've got joining us today from Beauty, our Director of Beauty, Claire Varga, and our Head of Food and Drink, Claire Lancaster, because those are two areas which obviously involve essential products. And I thought it'd be interesting to have a little chat, maybe to you first, Claire, about which brands you think are leading the way in offering value and what kind of strategies you think brands should be looking at in this area.
Yeah, it's really interesting from a beauty point of view. I mean, you know, historically, beauty's always seen as a category that fares pretty well in economic downturns. You know, it's viewed as being fairly resilient when it comes to recessions. But as Joe says, you know, the outlook is a little different this time. And consumers are definitely, you know, rethinking their choices, particularly around, you know, personal care items and hygiene. And women in particular, of course, are being hit most. They're the ones that are making the sacrifices and still responsible for sort of buying all those household things. But the good news is that we are seeing sort of brands, you know, coming up with some really strong initiatives to help people. And for me, I have to call out Upcircle, who are a UK skincare brand. And I think, you know, what they're doing is really amazing in that, you know, they've implemented their cost of living commitment, and that's in partner with YouGov. They've done all this research to understand that people, you know, what their concerns are. Is it affordability? You know, are they worried about sun protection, for example? You know, are they worried that they can't make sustainable purchases anymore? And in response, it's done some amazing things. It's frozen its price points to the end of 2023. It's already donating lots of products and funds to toiletry amnesty to help people with hygiene poverty. But it's also doing really amazing things like, you know, sharing money-saving tips on its platform. You know, they ran this thing about how to make your own DIY mascara. And, you know, they're just really reaching out to people. And again, you know, similar vein, Boots are doing some amazing things. They just recently launched an everyday range of you know, 60 essential items that are all under, you know, between 50p to £1.50, but don't compromise on quality. So, you know, they're two brands I would call out as doing something really exceptional, and you know, it gives you hope. It's really good to see.
Outside beauty, I've seen two other really nice activations this week, unfortunately both from the UK market, but I think they're case studies in brands demonstrating everything that we've been talking about on WGSN. So the first is O2, which is owned by the parent company Telefonica, one of the world's biggest telecom networks. And they're running a campaign at the moment around gifting data. So if someone you know, someone you love, family member, can't afford to pay their plan, you can gift them a bolt-on data and it will get charged to your pack, but then you can kind of send it to them and they can claim it. And Sky are doing something very, very similar at the moment where you can gift Now TV or you can gift a kind of Sky Sports package.
Also, Joe, there's been a few errors, haven't there, in this regard. Some brands have sort of done it slightly the wrong way and it's sort of fallen a little badly. So it's getting that empathy right is quite important, getting the tone right of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about, from a brand perspective, it's all about obviously authenticity. You know, we use that term a lot, but working out where you can play credibly, but also working out your relationship with your customer. So a few of the cinema companies are doing a deal which is pay what you want for a cinema ticket. That obviously ties into it very, very nicely. Cinema tickets are a big expense, or movie tickets are a big expense. But then there was also an energy company that sent out free socks so you don't have to turn the heating on. And obviously the consumer backlash was absolutely enormous against that, because in many consumers' eyes, it's the energy companies that are really driving up the cost of living at the moment. So working out what your narrative is and where you can play credibly is super important.
Claire, talking in the food and drink space, obviously this is an essential, and there's been a lot of people talking in the UK and Europe about people choosing between eating or heating. So what kind of things are you seeing there? I know that private label own brand is quite a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. So for food and drink, I think we've really seen the big brand winners here have been those big discount retailers and grocery stores that are able to do that private label innovation really quickly. For brands that offer multiple SKUs in the food and drink space, this is a huge opportunity, because what we're seeing is that consumers still really want newness and they want those new products, but they're now willing to look to private label ranges for them. So we've gone straight, as we all know, from pandemic to cost of living crisis. And for food and drink, that's just really, really shifted the focus into the home. It's brought some cooking fatigue and some meal fatigue with it. So for these private label brands that can offer that innovation around consumer shifts, like I said, cooking from home or, you know, bringing packed lunches into work, we're seeing a lot of that again, as well as those restaurant quality, chef-inspired, you know, affordable luxuries that you can access in the home. So we're really seeing innovation in that area. Also for the spirits and drinks industries, we're seeing continued rise for that, people bringing pre-mixed ready-to-drink spirits in for home entertainment, as well as just innovative packaging in that area. Even though we're in a recession, I do think that people continue to look for brands that are being sustainable and being smart about what they're offering.
I think that's quite interesting what you're talking about, kind of moving entertainment at home and people doing everything from home. Obviously, like going out, hospitality, that's going to suffer a lot. And we've talked about that with our Home Lifestyles white paper, which is out now. Joe, I know you've talked about this a lot on Insight, this sort of overarching strategy about brands really focusing on the home. What are you seeing there? How's that developing?
I'd completely echo what Claire is saying. So people are spending less time outside the house. With exchange rate fluctuations, people are going to be travelling domestically a lot more. COVID set the groundwork for that. Obviously, there's also focus in DIY. With people moving less and the kind of housing market stagnating a little bit, you're more inclined to do up your own home. You know, just anecdotally, the other week, I kind of said, well, look, we're going to be in our place for a while, so maybe we should try and sort out the carpet finally. And also companies like Domino's, you know, currently Domino's is trading at 10 times earnings, and that's going to probably continue because people are looking for bringing that luxury outside the home inwards. So trying to recreate those third spaces at home is going to be really, really key.
And that's something we are absolutely seeing in beauty as well. You know, during the pandemic, everybody got really good at, you know, DIY beauty and salon alternatives. And, you know, they are much more confident, and now they're switching as well. So that's something we're absolutely seeing, people looking for that sort of salon quality, you know, whether it's a treatment or an indulgent, whether it's hair colour or, you know, DIY tools for home. We're seeing exactly the same thing happening in beauty as well.
You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast, and we're exploring the brand strategies for building resilience and retaining consumer loyalty during the cost of living crisis. So how do you get consumers to stick with you through lean times? Let's hear from Jo McDonnell, our Director of Insight.
Largely, it is price freezes. So as much as you can, try and keep prices stable. If you do have to raise prices, then explaining to customers in a transparent way why that is happening. Obviously, messaging around paying staff a fair living wage, you know, trying to increase that with inflation. Consumers understand that. And while it may not go down, you know, overly, nobody likes to pay more than they have to. If you explain the impact of supply chains and what that's had on your brand, people understand that a little bit more. Beyond that, it is around offering value. So offering buy one, get one free promotions, and trying to enhance loyalty as much as possible. So that can be everything from doubling down on a loyalty scheme. There's lots of great examples of brands which are doing that. So, you know, 10th purchase, you get one free. Refer a friend schemes are really great as well. And we're seeing, you know, the tech companies really pioneered that. You know, the early days of Uber, Airbnb, you know, building their network, but we're seeing that expand into other areas as well. So even referring friends to restaurants and things, and then next time you go, you can get a free drink or you can get money off your bill. So that's one way of doing it. Or alternatively, joining a kind of wider loyalty program. So in the UK, Tesco's have their club card points, which are interoperable. And lots of consumers on TikTok are sharing tips about how to kind of game these points, how to make the most out of them, how to swap them between brands. So if you're not part of a loyalty scheme, if you don't have one in-house, I'd definitely consider joining one and thinking about similar businesses that you could partner with.
Claire, what's happening in beauty? If I can ask you to sort of be fairly snappy about that.
I mean, Jo's hit it right there. Transparency is huge right now and really important in terms of tactics. You know, transparency has always been important from that sustainability point of view. But what we're seeing now is it's a shift from, you know, the how to the why. You know, people want to know why these decisions have made. So we've seen a lot of brands, you know, explaining the challenges they've had. So Pro's a great example. You know, they had to put their costs up because of manufacturing, because of ingredients. And they very in a lot of detail explained to their community why they'd done that, the justification behind it, that they wanted to carry on delivering a really high standard product that they felt their consumer deserved, and explained it. And their customer base was happy to embrace that. And then Deciem, again, you know, genius. They're behind The Ordinary. They did the same thing. They announced that they were going to be putting their prices up, but they did it. They gave all their consumers and their clients 2 weeks' notice and allowed them to buy products at the current prices to do a bit of stockpiling. So, you know, that transparency is everything. It's loyalty. It's their future.
One thing I just add to that, building on Claire's point, is you know, don't downsize the size of products without talking to your customer base, because no customers like to feel like they have the wool pulled over their eyes. So if downsizing and keeping it the same price is a route that you're going to take, then make sure you also communicate that. Don't think you can sneak it past customers, because you absolutely can't.
There's nothing worse than when one of your favorite chocolate bars has been downsized. So, you know, my equivalent is, don't do that to my beauty or any other product either. We know how bad it makes us feel. Don't do it.
That's great advice. Talking of chocolate and lovely, delicious things, it's coming up to holiday season, right, Claire? So that's presumably going to be quite tough for food and drink, but what kind of things are happening to sort of mitigate all these concerns about cost of living?
Yeah, so I mean, like everybody's been saying already, loyalty and promotions have been really big across food and drink retailers to really keep those consumers who've made that switch into own brand or coming into those more value retail shops. But really, I think around the holiday season, we are seeing a sustained demand for those really traditional foods and that big spread that everybody wants to be able to put on. And I think that retailers have responded in a really clever, sympathetic way. They've tied their sales to the holiday season. So in the US, Walmart shoppers can get this year's Thanksgiving meal at last year's price. That's, you know, their sort of tagline straight from the brand. And I think they're really clever in doing that. And what they've also done is that they've frozen that price through to December 26th of this year. So that'll take you through Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we've seen discount chain Aldi, which is really just absolutely dominating, I think, in the food and drink space in terms of this cost of living crisis. It's really had a lot of consumer interest, even in the sort of high income households that you wouldn't expect to typically shop at that retailer. They're going even further with their Price Rewind program. They're taking their price all the way back to 2019, so shoppers can get discounts of up to 30% on all their sort of holiday favorites. And they're, you know, calling that the Thanksgiving Price Rewind, giving that retro price treatment, and that's good until the end of the month, so people can also stock up ahead of the holidays.
This is Create Tomorrow, the WGSN podcast. I'm your host, Bethan Ryder, and we're delving into the brand solutions to help consumers through recessionary times. The current situation is compounded not just by rising inflation, but rising energy costs. So next, we hear from our head of food and drink, Claire Lancaster, as she explains how this challenge is being tackled in innovative ways in the food and drink sector.
So consumers are very conscious of their energy consumption and the costs around that, particularly, as we've said, in the UK and Europe. And they're changing their cooking habits to reflect that. And this is really picking up on a trend that was already on the rise with these energy efficient kitchen appliances, kettles, microwaves, air fryers, pressure cookers. I mean, slow cookers. I haven't actually typed the word oven on the food and drink platform for a long time, which is really interesting because consumers are really turning to these energy efficient appliances.
We talk a lot about formats around sustainability, but we're seeing a lot of formats that actually, you know, save on utilities as well. So whether it's products that require less water or don't require heat, it's something we're seeing. So solid formats in particular, you know, that don't require water, hybrid formats, multitaskers that are reducing the amount of products you need. So you don't have to spend as long time in the shower, for example. And they also have the advantage of having longer shelf lives as well. So, you know, Nope is a plastic-free solid shampoo company that I use and I adore. And one of their bars actually lasts three times longer than you know, a bottle of shampoo. But we're also seeing things like, you know, wash extenders growing as a micro category. So these are products that are going to extend the time between, you know, that you need to wash your hair. So therefore, you're not using your hairdryer or any equipment as well. So it's really interesting that we're all seeing sort of resource efficient products coming through too.
And that's a brilliant thing, right? That there's a lot of talk about with the cost of living, consumers are going to stop caring about the environment and sustainability. But actually, you can kind of wrap those two things in one. And there's a lot of solutions that will meet both those things, sustainability and cost of living. Joe, I know that Gen Z are really hit by this. And that's that is a generation that really cares about sustainability, right? So actually, you do need to think about both these things when you're looking for solutions.
Yeah, definitely. Gen Z obviously have been hit hardest by the economic downturn. We already know they had the least wealth and resource of any generation. But what's interesting is that a lot of the tips that Claire and Claire were both mentioning emerge on TikTok. And for many Gen Z, these are kind of new ideas, like putting draft excluders to try and insulate the house. But we're also seeing that pivot towards sustainability. So searches for solar panels increased 10 times across Europe this summer, while people looked for trying to detach themselves from gas, from electricity. But also we're seeing more sustainable practices like saving water. So actually attaching water butts to outside pipes so that you can water your plants without using the hose, or even collecting water as the shower heats up and then using that to water your plants, again, to reduce the bills, to reduce the impact. But also all of these things have an environmental impact as well.
And in food and drink, I think that one of the great areas of innovation we're seeing in the cost of living crisis as it relates to sustainability is in ingredient swaps. So a lot of consumers, of course, have been, you know, choosing to go for untraditional cuts of meat or swapping things like beans or even just the regular vegetable for really meat forward products. And so I think that from a consumer perspective, we've seen that. We've also seen that brands, when they're unable to access some of these ingredients, we've had a huge issue with accessing some of those vegetable oils because of the crisis in Ukraine. And what we're seeing is that brands are having to reformulate, and this is really an opportunity to reformulate in a way that's more environmentally friendly, because you're going to have to change that basic ingredient, that basic formula, and introduce something new to consumers. So they're taking this as an opportunity to really change that formula in a way that's more environmentally sustainable.
I'd like to add on a little up note, because I know that throughout all the doom and gloom, consumers still need some joy, right? And they and the most obvious place that I know they've often looked is beauty. Claire, is that you're still seeing that, right? The lipstick effect.
Oh, do you know what? That is the good news, that the lipstick effect is absolutely, it's holding, if not flashing red. You know, consumers still really do want to spend on things, and it's all about affordable luxuries, really. You know, a new lipstick, a new nail varnish, or a product, it's still cheaper than buying new shoes or a new handbag. Sorry, other Claire, it still lasts longer than a meal. So, you know, people are still, you know, looking to these little indulgences. So, you know, they want to buy. I would say to brands, yeah, you know, it's focus on your existing consumers. It's less about gimmicks and newness. It's about those small pleasures. Think about things with second lives, things that, you know, once they're over can be used as something else. We've just seen Oriflame Cosmetics did an amazing scent bottle that actually turns into a photo frame when it's used. So it's just got that bit of extra value. So that's always a good incentive. But yeah, that lipstick effect is holding true at the moment. So that is good news.
And I think in food and drink, Claire, you could call it the ready-made cocktail effect, couldn't you? I mean, those are doing really well because people still need a margarita in times of crisis.
Absolutely. I think, the alcohol industry has been doing quite well. But the sort of inverse of that, we've also seen a lot of innovation around non-alcoholic, really lovely drinks to drink in the home, and just something that gives you a way to sort of have a nice pick-me-up at the end of the day and maybe without the hangover. So we're seeing so much innovation in both of those areas, just really little rituals that people are turning to in the home that bring them joy through, you know, really simple, easy, accessible products that can fit into lifestyle.
And Jo, it just lastly from you, I did notice this year that Glastonbury tickets still sold out in under an hour, even though they'd gone up to £330. I think they were £280 last year or something. People are obviously going to be looking for experiences as well, right, to come together at these times. And there's surely an experiential aspect here that consumers will still want.
Yeah, definitely. With so much negativity in the world, and we cover it on WGSN, we're calling it the polycrisis, just the sheer number of problems that the world is facing. People are still looking for joy. They're still looking for that human connection, especially coming out of the pandemic, where we've been doing everything through screens for the last few years. And in regards to Christmas as well, people gifting will be focused on improvement a lot. So gifting things like courses as well, gifting useful products, like I mentioned, data or a Spotify membership or anything for self-improvement, wellness, health, and particularly mental health are all going to be key.
Thanks to our guests this week, Jo McDonald, Claire Varga and Claire Lancaster. And thank you for listening to the Create Tomorrow podcast. If you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find many reports covering the cost of living on our Consumer Insight platform and across all the products from fashion to food and drink. If you want to find out how to subscribe, head over to WGSN.com to discover how you can get access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries. And that includes food and drink, interiors, beauty, fashion, and consumer tech. You can subscribe to the show on all major podcast platforms, and if you like what you've heard, why not leave us a rating and review on iTunes? I'd also like to thank our podcast producer, Roland Bodnam, and we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until then, we hope this gave you some sparks of inspiration, whether you're a designer, retailer, or brand. See you next time.